The next case is 07-1582, Disciplinary Council and Mahoney County Bar Association versus Richard Olivito. Mr. Olivito is not here. Here's that this is a hearing on Mr. Olivito's failure to arrange to have a psychiatric examination. It appears that my sheet shows that he's here, but we're not going to wait for him, because we don't have to wait for him. Ms. Brown, why don't you tell us briefly what we know is before us, but I'll give you an opportunity to briefly state the matter before us, contempt matter.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, Lori Brown on behalf of co-relators, the Mahoning County Bar Association and Disciplinary Council. Disciplinary Council and the Mahoning County Bar Association filed a joint motion seeking to have Mr. Olivito, the respondent in two board cases, which had been consolidated pursuant to a request to the panel, seeking to have Mr. Olivito evaluated pursuant to GovBar Rule 5, Section 7. That motion, the joint motion, was filed on February 21st of 2007. Mr. Olivito did not file a response to that motion, and by unanimous panel decision, all three panel members granted co-relator's motion on March 13th, 2007. On March 21st, 2007, the board issued a follow-up order identifying Dr. Arthur Rosenbaum as the psychiatrist who had been appointed to evaluate Mr. Olivito. Mr. Olivito was given the opportunity to contact Dr. Rosenbaum within 15 days of the board's order. In the weeks following that order, Mr. Olivito did not contact Dr. Rosenbaum, but instead filed various motions with the panel and with the board. On March 22nd of 2007, yet another order was issued by the panel, again ordering Mr. Olivito to contact Dr. Rosenbaum, make an appointment, and get an evaluation. Then again, on June 8th of 2007, there is yet another order from the panel chair referencing different materials received from the respondent and overruling his various pending requests, reminding him the matter had been stayed, and once again ordering him to be evaluated. Because he did not get evaluated, relator requested that the panel issue an order of non-compliance, which the board issued on August 16th of 2007. They issued a finding of failure to comply. Thereafter, co-relators, Disciplinary Council, and the Mahoning County Bar filed a motion for an order to appear and show cause in this court on August 21st, 2007. Mr. Olivito did not file a response to that request, and on November 19th of 2007, this court ordered Mr. Olivito to appear in person and show cause today, December 11th, 2007. I would like to reserve some time to respond.
What is the status of Mr. Olivito's license at this point?
Mr. Olivito's license to practice law was suspended by this court in July of 2006 pursuant to a completely separate disciplinary case.
And that was 2 years suspended with 1 year stayed.
That's correct,
so
Your Honor.
So as of July 2007, he would be practicing again.
He would not have been eligible for reinstatement, Your Honor, because there was a second pending disciplinary case. Thank you. With that, I will reserve time.
Mr. Olivito, you understand why you're here.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. And I tend to speak very softly, so I'm going to try to get. Thank you, Your Honor, for the time. And it's not the way I wanted to meet this court, and it's certainly not the circumstances that I would like to appear in front of this court. I would like to point out, maybe start at the end of that process and work backwards, because there was the Chief Justice issued a show cause order, and I believe, and unfortunately, with no disrespect to this court, I made a good faith effort that fell short to get a response before this court, and I actually sought out-of-state counsel to write both an opinion and a response to the show cause, and he did so, and he's also a medical doctor. He's familiar with me. He's a colleague. He's also sharing the record of two of my civil rights cases that have recently been won at the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. He wrote a six-page letter. Unfortunately, he wrote it on the fly through various airports the week prior to the date of October 18th, the due date, and as I was trying to catch up with him through the various airports throughout the United States, he, Dr. Hennett, notified me on Friday, October 12th, that he had completed the response, and when he did that, he told me that he had faxed it into the clerk's office. And I kind of had a little bit of a catch to that. I asked him to produce it to me I had it on by October 13th, and it was supposed to serve as a response to the show cause order. And with that particular document, I realized that he had responded in a letter form to the chief, and it was a very well-worded and a strongly supportive letter and responsive memo, but when I brought it up to him that I think it's the format's gonna be a problem, he said he was gonna talk with a clerk on Monday of October 14th, I believe it was. So he did so, and by 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock on Monday, the week of the due date, which was the 18th of that week, he notified me that the clerk instructed him that we should get a motion before the court, attach the letter to it, and then the court would receive it, or the clerk would receive it. I can go through several minutes of additional what happened, but basically what happened, we made a very good effort to do that. I tried to find local counsel that week. I know several lawyers in Columbus, and but many were busy, others I could not afford to retain.
Well, counsel,
sure.
So you don't chew up all your time, let me ask you a couple of questions. You were asked to submit to a particular psychiatric examination.
Yes.
And first of all, were you aware of that request?
Yes, I was. I mean, obviously it was a request that came up in unusual circumstances back in the spring.
And is it true that you failed to meet with that doctor or call and schedule an appointment?
Back in the spring, I did not call Dr. Rosenbaum.
And have you at any time subsequent attempted to schedule an appointment?
Not with Dr. Rosenbaum. My difference was on various merits, and I probably could not do it justice in 15 or 10 minutes here today to the depth of
it. So you object to meeting with that?
Yes, that's correct.
Is there a qualified psychiatrist with whom you have met, whose report you have offered to the board?
Well, I've set up an appointment with somebody, and I've attempted that. And Dr. Hennett, who is the letter that had a medical opinion contained in it, if I can just finish, you may, just quickly, what happened with Dr. Hennett's letter, we submitted it, we got it there. In fact, Attorney Max Kravitz's office former Max Kravitz's office, submitted it by courier on the due date, and it was rejected by the clerk's office. And for technical reasons, and I'll take responsibility for that, but in that letter, he had a medical opinion that was responsive to the psychological evaluation issues. And two, Dr. Hennett referenced that he does this kind of work throughout the United States for professionals, and he has great access to many forensic psychiatrists. They wanted a forensic psychiatrist. And one of the things I may add, one of the fundamental problems I had, and I think it's a due process problem with the code enforcement as it stands before this court, with your rules, and no disrespect to this court whatsoever, but just to the process. I do constitutional law. I've done it. I'm fairly conversant with it. I was one of the attorneys that helped bring about the nation's first consent decree in Steubenville, Ohio. And I'm very, very conversant with due process sensitivity issues.
Counsel, did this doctor who submitted the letter ever examine you personally?
Yes, but he's not a psychiatrist. He is an MD.
Okay.
But he does do counseling with professionals.
Do you understand that this request was made because parties who did not know you and were disinterested had a great concern about some mental health issues you have. And it was done to determine if, in fact, those are legitimate mental health issues that affect your ability to practice. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Why then are you so objecting to getting help if outside people can look at you and say, at least get evaluated? Why are you so resistant to getting help when it's so obvious that it's to other people you need some help?
Well, what's obvious is this. I mean, again, it arose in a specific context of litigation, and particularly it's disciplinary counsel litigation. And if they,
but it goes to the right to practice, which right. This court controls. And when we see somebody that we have a concern, maybe a harm to themselves or others, we have a duty to do something about it. And you are viewing this as an adversary action when we are viewing it as perhaps an attempt to help you.
I hesitate to get into what happened this spring, but 4 months went by, and the reason why I didn't jump into this issue the way it was presented, and I have to be sensitive to it because it was subjected to its own ethical review of how it came about. And that's all I'm going to say. What happened was how it came about and how this conversation, this order even issued, became subject to independent lawyers, experienced ethics counsel for the state of Ohio, who practiced before this court routinely in these matters, reviewed independently all the documents and evidence that I submitted to them about how this order came about and what I felt was an improper ex parte communication with the panel chair that led to the creation of this order. Now, I'm sure Ms. Brown disagrees with that, and I'm sure, but I did that, and two independent lawyers wrote a mandatory violation letter stating that it was a product of a dishonest act. Now, I'm not going to get into that too much. I hesitated to get there. That took up 4 months.
Okay. I think our concern would be, and
I don't have a problem with getting evaluated.
We realize that any system can run amok, and people can get exasperated and maybe overreact. But the request was, or the order was, for you to see a specific psychiatrist for an evaluation. Mm-hmm. If I think as a body, this court mm-hmm. is interested when others think that is appropriate to at least get something from a neutral professional. Mm-hmm. Now, if you object to the one they mm-hmm. subjected, then an appropriate alternative to that would be to say, here are the names of two or three people that I believe are qualified, and I'm willing to see one of those, and the board can select it, to work with the board so that there's a neutral.
I have no problem with that.
Evaluation, but you haven't done anything to accomplish that. So
happened,
so we're sitting here in the dark at this point.
What I may say, and it's again part of what I did not want to get into the literally, the give and take of what happened back in the spring, but I brought up specifically when this first was raised in the middle of a highly developed, I thought, disciplinary case record that had none of this had ever reared its head at all, and all of a sudden I'm ambushed by this commentary by Ms. Brown. What happened was, after the panel chair left that conversation, I asked her, I says, where are you coming? And two, don't I get a second opinion? And I was told, and she may differ, but one of the reasons why I hesitated, she specifically told me this court would not consider a second opinion or a neutral thing. Now, that's she's speaking, not the court speaking. But that's put me ill at ease. And frankly, combined with what I knew that I was left on an answer machine tape of my retired father's residence of a phone call that was caught on tape between Ms. Brown and panel chair Hines.
Well, counsel, you obviously are experienced counsel, yeah. And this court tries to have in place a system in which lawyers are afforded
due process.
And if that runs amok, we would be interested in that. But if a lawyer feels, well, the system is not affording me due process, I think the lawyer has an obligation to suggest an alternative path,
which I did,
that you believe would afford you due process that still gets the information that the board feels it needs which is an evaluation.
And I would have no problem. In fact, one of the things I was coming here at a request of the court today.
But you haven't done it.
Well, and I appreciate what you're saying, and it leaves me in a very vulnerable and rather naked position, especially as a pro se attorney, but and one who's been once judged by the court. But I, you know, this, if I made two observations, and I perfectly, in fact, if that would be the standard, I would have done this 9 months ago. I had a problem when I was told straight up, you don't get the right to a second opinion. You will go to the doctor of our choosing, and he will make a decision, and the court will publish that opinion. I have done mental health competency evaluations myself for people in probate court in Youngstown. I worked on a 4-year mental health issue in the state of Virginia. I was asked to be the fellow at the University of Virginia for mental health law at the Blue Ridge Hospital. So what I'm trying to say is I was very, very concerned about how this issue of protecting my own livelihood, my own reputation would come up when I was told that I could not have a second opinion. And one of the fundamental issues, one of the reasons why I didn't respond to the motion that she mentions in the spring was the issue went before lawyers who filed a formal complaint. They instructed me, and I have the letter, and I filed a motion indicating that I'm willing to work with the system, but I've been advised not to speak or communicate with either Jeff Hines or Lori Brown for that period. It was resolved. I'm not here to attack them personally, please. I don't want to be characterized that way.
Well, certainly you're aware that you're permitted to offer all kinds of testimony in any disciplinary hearing, and that would include live witnesses and reports, and this court reads all of those things very carefully, and you know, if there's some factual dispute or dueling opinions between psychiatrists, we would consider that. But you have an obligation not to dig in and just not respond at all.
I understand, and believe me, I do. I'm not unintelligent, nor am I, and I may add, grossly impaired so as to be completely dysfunctional as a lawyer. And when I don't know if you would like to have that said to you by a disciplinary counsel, but if someone writes that about you in the middle of litigation that I perceived I was winning, I don't, whether it's Lori Brown or whether it's the panel chair, I think I felt a little bit afraid that when they said I couldn't get a second opinion, and I apologize to this court. You don't need to be taking your time.
Mr. Olivier, let me ask you two questions. You had mentioned your practice in constitutional law.
Yes.
What is your understanding of the status of your license to practice law today?
Well, today, you know, again, as Ms. Brown, I think she was very correct. I'm eligible to practice, to reapply, but because of this, after the year has elapsed, and I did take that year, I haven't, out of respect to this court, really put that issue before the clerk in this court, because I would love to, but I know I have underlying issues, and that was one of the things. I thought this was Plan B. Frankly, I know that sounds kind of flip, but
so you're not practicing law today.
I'm not practicing at the moment.
Second question: what do you're facing contempt because you haven't followed, you haven't responded to an order of the board. What do you think you should do to not be in contempt?
You know, I was actually advised, and my dear father, who you know personally, has who's not feeling well, and he would be here behind me today, but a Polish mother kept him from coming, and he knows what it's like to be a judge and what's being, I'm not in your position, but obviously to be a veteran judicial officer. I carry a name of a great man and a great judicial officer. I didn't come here to argue with this court or to be in contempt. I did want to show to the court that I feel bad about not getting this docketed. I felt it was a mistake, and it doesn't bode well, but I'm willing to work out a solution, and that long as I can have the court, even what Justice Pfeiffer just said, if someone would just be willing to give a commitment on a due process level, that there's a second opinion or a third opinion that can be believed. No medical doctor has said this about me. She's not a medical doctor. I don't have anything personal against her, but she's not a medical professional. I have a doctor's opinion saying it's not a psychiatrist, but I'm willing to work something out with this court. In fact, I was going to ask, I think enough issues exist on this case's record because of what happened with this order. I literally was waiting for 4 months from the Secretary of Board of Commissioners for a result on whether or not somebody had violated the Code of Professional Responsibility about this order. And I'm not trying, I don't want to go into that too much because they concluded that
you need
they had
some
not.
Of your red light is on, which yeah. means you've used your time.
If I may, Your Honor. But
you can make a summary statement.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Your Honor. I just want to say I did bring some documents. I have a Seventh District Court of Appeals opinion that I tried to talk to Ms. Brown about. I'm sure with these documents can be submitted. I would be willing to work with this court also. I think this opinion speaks to, I was willing to take a jail sentence and instead of getting evaluated from a municipal court in 2004. It was published, it was highly injurious to my reputation, it was in the middle of a high profile civil rights work, and I chose instead to go to jail, and I challenged it through due process in the Seventh District Court of Appeals in a unanimous decision. It was cited in the materials Ms. Brown references, but she leaves out the decision to the panel chair, the whole decision. The decision went on to say there was no basis for a mental health evaluation and reversed that part of the contempt of 2004 from Judge Millick. That opinion I wanted to get before this court, but more importantly to the panel chair. When you say I wanted to submit some documents, I try to do that, and I try to work with the panel chair.
You need to,
and
you need to end your...
May I just ask you a question, Mr. Oliveto, before you leave the podium? The court has ordered on several occasions that you submit to a psychiatric examination with Dr. Rosenbaum.
Correct.
You have not made an appointment for that?
No, I have not, Your Honor.
Have you any other psychiatrist?
There's a Dr. Deal that I've spoken
Pardon
to,
me, please?
A Dr. Deal, I can't pronounce, D-H-I-E-L, and he's a psychiatrist.
What,
that I've, I haven't met
where
with
does
him,
he practice?
He practices in the tri-state area of Steubenville, Weirton, in Pittsburgh.
Have you made an appointment with
I've
him?
I've contacted his office pending this order just in the last few weeks. Yeah, I've been waiting on a response from his office. I've called them several times, but and Dr. Deal is somebody I do not know, but I heard that he's a very professional individual. I've also, like I said, Dr. Hennett has an individual in San Francisco that he's recommended to me who's a forensic psychiatrist, and that's one of the things that Dr. Hennett, I would love to, for the court to read his letter. I had hoped that the clerk would allow me to get that docketed to address the show cause order, but she used her discretion to say no to that letter.
Thank you, Mr. Oliveto. Ms. Brown, you saved almost 12 minutes of your time.
Thank you, Your Honor. First of all, let me begin by saying that there was no representation made to Mr. Oliveto that he could not obtain an independent psychiatric evaluation. Perhaps he misunderstood, which, I mean, I'm certain that could have happened. There is no problem with him obtaining an independent psychiatric evaluation. The evaluation that was to be performed and hopefully will be performed by Dr. Rosenbaum is at board expense. Any other evaluations that are performed of Mr. Oliveto at his request would be at Mr. Oliveto's expense. Likewise, if co-relators determine that after those two evaluations have been conducted, we seek yet a third evaluation, we could do that as well. The evaluation, as this court well knows, must be conducted pursuant to Revised Code Section 5122.01a. It's a forensic evaluation which requires the evaluating professional to obtain information outside of that information they get from the patient. In other words, to look at the complaint in this matter, to interview other people, read transcripts of depositions. This is not spending an hour with someone. This is spending, as this court knows, spending significant time with the individual. With regard to Mr. Oliveto's references to the medical doctor that he has served as co-counsel, the individual is a medical doctor and an attorney in South Carolina. He has served with co-counsel as co-counsel with Mr. Oliveto on some federal cases, and as Mr. Oliveto indicated, he is not a psychiatrist. He has not conducted a forensic examination of Mr. Oliveto. His opinion as to Mr. Oliveto's level of competency at this point under 5122 is simply not the standard that this court needs to make a decision pursuant to Section 7 of GovBAR Rule 5. We vehemently disagree with Mr. Olivito's version of the events that led to this motion for seeking his evaluation under Section 7. As this court well knows, insulting Mr. Olivito was never the intent, and I apologize if he was insulted by the motion for the mental illness examination. As advocates, we are bound to do what is best to protect the public. After serious consideration and evaluation of Mr. Olivito's conduct, his writings, other things, I won't go into the entire motion, but co-relators made a determination the motion should be filed. In fact, a joint motion for an examination was discussed. That did not come to pass, and as a result, co-relators filed their own motion seeking to have Mr. Olivito evaluated. Mr. Olivito indicates that the possibility of an examination was never raised with him before the motion was filed. In fact, my co-counsel, David Comstock Jr., and Mr. Olivito had a rather extensive conversation. As Justice Stratton pointed out, perhaps the evaluation itself might be beneficial to Mr. Olivito. And that was the intent and the direction of that conversation prior to the motion being filed. So the issue was raised. Perhaps Mr. Olivito misunderstood the intent, which I won't say it often happens when a respondent is pro se, but it is prone to happen. It does happen. That being said, Your Honor, as I previously stated, Mr. Olivito has ignored and failed to comply with, he has indicated to this court that he has failed to comply with four different orders of the board and the panel directing him to be evaluated by Dr. Arthur Rosenbaum. Co-relators would respectfully request, unless there are further questions of me before I conclude, we would respectfully request that this court issue an order commanding Mr. Olivito to contact Dr. Rosenbaum, schedule an appointment with Dr. Rosenbaum within a time period certain. If he does not do that, he would be in contempt of this court's order. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.